Good morning. Over the course of the last 4 weeks, we've found ourselves in this unexpected series, 2020 Vision. It started with Sheila sharing about seeing through right eyes, and then continued with Darren talking about seeing true change, seeing things differently, and last week, seeing our neighbors. And I have to admit, last week when he started sharing about the Good Samaritan, I was skeptical. As he said what he was sharing about, I may have thought briefly that I had heard everything there was to hear about the Good Samaritan. So you can imagine my surprise when he started sharing from the viewpoint of the religious leader to whom Jesus was telling the story of the Good Samaritan. It was a new vantage point for me, and I'm so grateful. Also, I believe God has a sense of humor and sets me up frequently so that I will remember that I haven't heard it all, I don't know it all, and I do need to open my heart and listen if I'm going to learn and grow. This focus on vision and seeing and sight has helped me in many ways to look at my life and purpose and plans from some new perspectives. So in keeping with this 2020 vision theme, today I'm going to talk about trees. Just kidding. But this message actually started in my heart, and I knew that it was going to be a message as a result of a tree that I saw last October. And I'm going to come right back to that. But the actual title of the message today is 2020 Vision, Seeing God's Provision. And I didn't realize until I think it was Friday that the word provision is pro-vision. Like, there's vision and seeing and sight and all of the things. But about the tree, last October we went to our Four Square District Conference in Bend with a few leaders from the church, and the theme for the conference was scatter. And a lot of speakers shared from many different perspectives about the Great Commission, about going into all the world, sharing the good news of Jesus, making disciples. And on our last full day there, I went for a walk with Sheila during our free time. And there's part of me that kind of just wanted to take a nap. And that probably would have happened except that it wasn't raining. I'm still a San Diego born and raised girl who does not like to walk in the rain. But the sun was shining, the outdoors were calling, and Sheila and I have some great conversations when we go on walks. So a nature walk won out. Now, I have this thing that happens when I'm in the outdoors, and part of it, I think, maybe I grew up in San Diego, so the beach and ocean are gorgeous, but the rest of California is kind of brown and kind of not beautiful. But so when I'm out in nature, I've tried to explain this to my family. They don't even really try to get it, but maybe some of you will. I'll see something, and I physically feel the beauty of it. Like, I feel like there are things that I see that my heart might just burst. Like, not just like, oh, I feel like my heart might, but like, I can feel an ache inside of me. And this day was no different. excuse me, sorry. We were on our way back from, it was a late afternoon walk, and the autumn afternoon light was just beautiful. The colors were dancing, the light and shadows and all of it. And I saw this little tree with one big pine cone, and I stopped. And she was so gracious because I stopped. And the word enough echoed inside of me. And this photo, there will be another photo at the end, but you can kind of see there's not really, I don't know why it stuck out to me. I don't know, except that I believe the Holy Spirit was whispering to me. And as I tried to process this moment where the Holy Spirit was whispering life to me, I was looking around, and this little tree was surrounded by larger evergreens, many with dozens, some with hundreds of pine cones. But it was this little tree with one big pine cone that stopped me. And the picture that I saw in my head as the word enough was whispered into my heart was this one little tree with one big pine cone had enough seed to scatter for new life to grow out of it. And I saw myself in that tree. Darren said something last week about how when we think we have it all together, we're mistaken. Here's a little truth about me. I never think I have it all together. I never feel like enough. Maybe some of you can relate. I'm not good at sports, and in fact, I'm really clumsy. I'm not artistic. I really like food, and I really don't like to exercise, unless it's disguised as something fun. I'm super gullible, or can be. I'm not as much now because I've been married to Darren for 25 years, so I just think everything he says is a joke. And I'm mostly all the time trying to keep up and process the emotions that are going on inside of me. I can be a real treat, let me tell you, to see this little tree with this one big pine cone and hear the word enough whispered over it made my heart just overflow. And I believe that's exactly what God would whisper to each of us this morning. And we're going to unpack this a little more when we open up the Bible in a moment. But going back to vision, what we see is so important. Last Sunday, I listened to a devotional on the Pray As You Go app, which is a little app that just reads scripture and then asks some questions to kind of process through. And it said this during part of it: the difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary is just a matter of recognition. There is no person, no place, or situation that is ordinary to those who know how to look. Sheila talked about this 4 weeks ago when she shared out of Matthew 6, how our focus changes our understanding. So this morning, as we talk about seeing God's provision, my hope is that we would pray to do just that. And at this point, I was going to just pray, but this morning I read a prayer written by Dallas Willard, and I think I'd like to just read that prayer over us all right now because it's so fitting. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful to you that you have said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We are thankful for the ease with which you walked upon this earth, the devotion with which you cared for those who were out of the way and in trouble, the extent to which you even loved your enemies and laid down your life for them. We are so thankful to believe that this is a life for us, a life without lack, a life of sufficiency. It's so clear in you, the sufficiency of your Father and the fullness of life that was poured out through you. And we're so thankful that you have promised that same love, that same life, that same joy, that same power for us. Lord, slip up on us today. Get past our defenses, our worries, our concerns. Gently open our souls and speak your word into them. We believe you want to do it, and we wait for you to do it now. In your name, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah 17. Sorry. When we talk about seeing God's provision, the statement itself assumes that he has already provided for us, that we need only see it. Our main text is Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. The verses leading up to this talk about how the tribe of Judah had turned away from God and put their trust in idols and other humans. And the verses following this text talk about how our human hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. But right in the middle, in verses 7 and 8 of the New Living Translation, it says this: "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit." These verses speak of God's provision. They say that he has provided for us, and we will see that provision when we look to him to be our provider. We hear over and over and over again in church that God is our provider. We hear that he's the answer and that every good gift comes from him. But our sinful nature has us looking to everything else except him, and sometimes to everything else before we look to him. I read this from a book called A Life Without Lack this morning. One of our greatest needs today is for people to really see and really believe the things they already profess to see and believe. Knowing about things, knowing what they are, being able to identify them and say them does not mean we actually believe them. When we truly believe what we profess, we are set to act as if it were true. Acting as if things are true means, in turn, that we live as if it were so. There are many things in the church that are broken, because the church itself is made up of us, broken people who are being restored by Jesus. One of these is that we say we believe the Bible when it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then we do everything possible to control our lives and chart our own course so that we don't really have to rely on faith. Rather, we look at faith as a backup plan. The scripture in Jeremiah calls us back to faith first. It says we are blessed if we trust in the Lord, if we put our confidence and hope in Him. And we can see three additional truths in the scripture that are dependent on that first one, us putting our trust, faith, confidence, and hope in the Lord. The first is this: when we look only to God for provision, it is enough. He is enough, and He provides enough. The first part of verse 8 says that we will be like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. This is a picture of a tree that has enough, with no worry of not having enough. Jesus is enough for us. He's the river. We're the trees. When we ask Him to be our Savior, it's like we're being planted along a riverbank. And each time we seek Him first in our lives, our roots are reaching deep into the water. There's no worry in this place. The second truth we see in the scripture when we look only to God for provision is that there is always more. The next part of verse 8 says that such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Our hope and confidence does not depend on what we see. It doesn't matter if it's hot or if there's no rain in the foreseeable future, figuratively speaking. This is hard for us to make sense of. And the best way I can word it is this: our provider is also our provision. When we look to God to provide instead of striving and toiling to make life work out in our own understanding and strength, He guides us and gives us eyes to see that everything we need is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And He is omnipotent and unending. Therefore, our provision comes when we look first to our provider, because He is also our provision. And I know it sounds like I'm just making stuff up right now, but Jesus says this in His Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew 6 that no one can serve both God and money, that you have to choose which you'll put your faith in. And then He says this in verses 25 through 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is coming from Jesus, in whom, according to Colossians 1, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. It also says all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. There is no lack in Jesus. He is both our provider and our provision, and there is always more because he is unending. The final truth we see here in Jeremiah is that when we look first and only to God for provision, there is more than enough for everyone. Verse 8 finishes by saying, "Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit." I also like the Living Bible translation here where it says, "Its leaves stay green, and it goes right on producing all its luscious fruit." I like that, luscious fruit. Let me ask you this. Does a tree need fruit to flourish? No. The fruit is for others. But if a tree is flourishing, it will have fruit. Jesus knows we need him. He knows that he alone is enough for us. He doesn't want us to be divided, distracted, and disabled with worry. But additionally, his plan is not only for us. His plan is for everyone. So when we trust him alone, the outcome is that our leaves stay green and we go right on producing all our luscious fruit. In other words, we flourish and we give to others so that they too can flourish. Luke picks up where Matthew 6 left off and records additional words that Jesus said after seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 34, Jesus adds this. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." There's more than enough for everyone in Jesus. And if he is our treasure, then our hearts will be inclined to the same things that his heart is. I've got a long way to go in this, but I've also come a long way from where I started. I'd like to share a little bit of my personal journey here, first concerning financial provision and giving, and then concerning obedience and provision and serving God. And I'd just like to say, this is kind of a tidy list. The process was not tidy. That's what you risk at sharing something that happened in the past is it was messy. It was not an easy process, but it was a beautiful process, I believe, and it's a process that's still happening. And it's not to push anyone to give the same way Darren and I do, or in any specific way at all. We believe the Holy Spirit leads us in how we give and how we serve. And he is so personal with each one of us. I'm sharing this because our giving and serving has changed as our trust in Jesus has grown deeper. And it's one of a multitude of stories that I know are in this room. I'm sharing in hopes that you too will look at your life and see the places that God has provided for you. They don't always stand out to us until we have the hindsight, that 2020 vision. So early in our marriage, Darren and I planned to give 10% to the church. But it was not our top priority, and because of that, it was sometimes less than 10% as we wrote a check at the end of the month, and other times it didn't happen at all. A couple of years into our marriage, the Holy Spirit moved in our hearts while listening to a pastor speak about giving and God's heart for us. And we both felt challenged to make tithing 10%, the first amount we paid out of our paychecks. And we found we had enough. We kept tithing 10% to the church, and a bit later, we started giving in other ways as we felt led. We gave to missionaries and missions trips, and we sponsored children through World Relief Agencies. And we had enough. A few years back, we were inspired by the Holy Spirit while going through the Transform series here at our church. We kept tithing 10%, but started doing it out of our gross income and added an additional percent each year to be given to ministries and other tax-deductible, not-for-profit agencies. And we had enough. Then we felt inspired to give in a new way, that whenever we wondered if we should give, the answer was yes, believing that our selfish selves wouldn't wonder that. And we had enough. We kept tithing 10% and giving, but found that God was directing us to give what we now call our giving money, the percentage that grows each year, to people in places that are not exclusively tax deductible and in ways that still don't always make sense to us, but nevertheless are infused with his peace. And we have had enough. Additionally, last year we felt we were supposed to give ourselves by going to a dear friend's wedding in Ireland. It sounds crazy. It can be embarrassing because it doesn't make rational sense. And we didn't know how we would make it happen. But we both felt we were supposed to do it and that we were supposed to take Toby and Emma. Amazingly, and without asking for help, people gave us financial gifts out of nowhere to help cover our travel expenses. And I believe more fully after going to Ireland that our going was a gift God wanted us to give our friend and her husband. I don't believe we're doing it the right way. I don't think there's one right way to give because, as I said, God is personal. He meets us right where we are. And I know we don't do it perfectly. We mess up and second guess. And we don't have as much of a savings to speak of, but neither have we been lacking. We have received undeserved and unwarranted lavish gifts in every form and from so many different people, and we are infused with God's peace. Now, concerning God's provision in my service, ministry, and work, I was in a high school discipleship class when I first understood that even though Jesus was my Savior, I had not made him the Lord of my life. In other words, I didn't seek him first and ask him for direction. Instead, I made plans and asked him to bless them. You see the difference there? From that point, I tried to seek him to lead me. I practiced listening for his voice, in his word, in his spirit, tugging at my spirit, and really in every way. He still speaks to me through nature, too. And I failed along the way, and I still fail along the way. But I keep trying to seek him first. And the trying and sometimes failing has allowed me to recognize his voice in my life. I feel confident that I have heard from God and that I will continue to hear his voice and direction. God guided us into ministry and through three ministry changes, which included three moves to three different cities, each one smaller than the last and each one requiring more faith from us than the last. He guided me personally in the jobs that I had. From changing jobs to quitting a job because I believed he had something else for me, which left me out of work for 3 months, to quitting full-time work and inquiring about contract proofreading when Toby and Emma were added to our family, to job sharing at our church in Newburgh, where I first really got to know the Duncans because Heather and I took care of each other's kids, to subbing as an educational assistant here in Dallas, to the work I do for the church now. He guided me to get my pastor's license. I didn't really want to, and I didn't pass the panel my first time through, but God was gracious enough to show me that obedience is not just physical. There's a mental, spiritual, and emotional process or aspect wherein we embrace God's plan, his timing, his process, and we allow him to show us what we need to change in our lives. I believe he asked me to speak here at our church and then asked me to speak more often. And I didn't like it, but I tried to embrace it most of the time. The last time I spoke was last fall, and it was the first time I did it without the panic where my heart was racing the entire time and my mind just going so that I really didn't remember anything at the end. So last time was the first time that didn't happen. This morning, I can tell you, I don't feel nervous, and it's so wonderful. It's just delightful that God is faithful to us. And I volunteered for this specific week, as Darren said, because I could see that God had been preparing something in my heart that really went with this unplanned 2020 vision series. God has guided me in the places and the ways that I serve, both privately and publicly. And as I've sought his heart, I've become more certain in my service to him and others because there's a freedom that's not something I have to do, but something that I do out of the love that he gives to me and the love that he continues to give to me, whether or not I am doing that. I've become more joyful and less concerned with what other people think most of the time. But I've learned also that serving God doesn't always or only happen in a program or class. And often his most profound work is in the unseen places where I serve him and others. I know I'm not qualified to share with you here, and somehow it doesn't matter because I believe I'm being obedient to God's call, and He is more than enough. We may see ourselves as a little tree with only one pine cone. We may feel pathetic when compared with others. We may feel insignificant, but God wants each one of us to know today we always have enough in Jesus. There is always more in Him. And we will find ourselves giving more and more to others as we grow in our faith. Here's what I know. We will not have a full understanding of this until we are perfected in His presence. But wherever we are in our journey to know Him more, the journey starts with placing our trust in Jesus and continues with finding our provision in Him, first and only. Sometimes in the form of contentment in our hearts by seeing what He has already provided and counting our blessings with gratitude for His provision. Sometimes in a miraculous physical provision, like a financial gift, a new job, or healing. Sometimes His provision is a greater understanding of His presence and seeing how He is at work in our lives. I have received all of these and then some. My hope is that we will remember to look first and only to the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's pray today. Father God, we're grateful. We're grateful that You are for us, that You love us, that You've done everything so that we could know You, so that we could be in Your presence, so that we could worship You and have relationship with You through Jesus' sacrifice, through the Holy Spirit that You've left for us so that we're never without You. In every moment and every circumstance, we thank You. Help us to look back and see those places where You've met us, where You've provided. Help us to seek You first and only, knowing that You will provide and that all we need is in Jesus. Because You will open our eyes to see the plans and the purposes and the people around us. We give You this day and we give You our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.